Describe your reaction to the sentence as handed down on Monday.
I was very shocked. We weren't prepared for that at all. We were prepared for a sentence of about that length, but a conditional sentence, which would have released me immediately. And in fact, both my lawyer and I are extremely angry at what has happened. We regard this as being a function of the public, the political pressure that's been put on the court.
And there's talk today that the prosecution is asking for an increased sentence. What's your reaction to that?
Well, we're going to go and appeal against the sentence, obviously, and we're also putting in a claim for the sentence to be voided. But I've heard today that the prosecutor here is appealing for the sentence to be actually increased. I think they're lunatics here. Austria, I mean, in court, the judge, who's read all my letters, all the letters I get, I got 600 letters in the last month or two, and he said, "I'm astonished you're getting letters from as far away as New Zealand." This shows their insular mentality, rather like Adolf Hitler. They've never been out of the country, as far as I can see. They don't realize that there is a free world out there. They're living on an island called Austria, and they're just not familiar with the fact that other countries around them all have freedom of speech.
But one of the arguments for giving you a long sentence was that you were just paying lip service to having changed your views. What do you say to that?
The argument for giving me a long sentence is to shut me up, basically. They're trying to tuck me away so that two or three days from now I will vanish from public sight. It's up to the rest of the free world to ensure that that doesn't happen, and that Austria is given a very uncomfortable ride from now on in the European Union and in the United Nations. Freedom of speech, you see. Freedom of speech means the freedom to say things to other people that they don't want to hear, which I do a lot of.
We'll come to that in a moment, but just to go back to that point, do you deny then that what you were saying in court on Monday was merely a way of getting a more lenient sentence?
Oh, good Lord, no. If anyone's read my books over the last 15 or 16 years since the actual alleged offence occurred in 1989, you'll see that the six books I've written since then, for example, about the Nuremberg trials or the Churchill biography, and the new edition of the Hitler biography, you'll see that this is a position I adopt in those books too. There's nothing new in this. It's a gradual realization. It's a refinement of my position, which I had back in 1989. It's a correction of my position. We all make mistakes, and we correct the mistakes.
But if you're serious about all of that, why don't you go back and pulp some of the books that you wrote when you did believe these things?
I don't have to. Macmillan's pulped my books back in 1992. Macmillan's, who published my books on July the 4th, 1992, when I came back from Moscow with the Goebbels diaries, the first person to get them out of the KGB archives. On July the 6th, Macmillan issued a secret instruction that all my books in their warehouses were to be secretly withdrawn and destroyed.
But you should be pleased about that.
I've got the internal memorandum. No, it's the way the Nazis operate, burning books. It's exactly the same as the thing that happened here in Austria, where the Minister of Justice has ordered all the prisons in the entire prison system to go through their libraries and take all my books out of their shelves and burn them. They're trying to pretend they're not a Nazi state. They are. They're locking up people because they don't like their opinions, and they're burning their books.
A lot of the papers here are saying that by jailing you, you're becoming a martyr for the far right. Is that a label you're proud to wear?
Bloody hell, the lawyer who came in yesterday morning to see me, which is the reason I was taken away from you, the lawyer, he said, "Mr. Earl, you should be very pleased. This is now turning you into an international martyr." And I said, "Mr. Kressbach, this is not what I wanted. That's not what I came to Austria for. I came here to have a quiet talk to Austrian students about the history of British code-breaking and its influence on the Joel Brand-Adolf Eichmann negotiations. And I found myself being arrested at gunpoint. I didn't want to be a martyr."
What do you say? What was your message then to the far right today?
My message to the far right is hang around, listen to me, and you'll learn what actually happened. And it's the same message I give to the far right and the far left.
So you're saying that the far right, you don't want to be their poster boy, but you do want to be their educator. Is that right?
It's the argument I've always used. When in these illiterate countries like Austria, they say, "Oh, Mr. Irving was speaking to a right-wing audience." I say, right-wing people aren't incorrigible. They want to learn the truth just like anybody else. And I'm the right person to tell them this. They can't trust their own historians because all their own historians are living in gibbering fear of the law over here. You can't trust German and Austrian historians.
Are you going about all of this the right way? I mean, you entered court with a lot of bombast on Monday morning. You're phoning journalists like myself, you're certainly not being quiet and going along with everything the court wants you to. Is it any surprise, in a sense, that they want to make an example out of you?
Well, I've never been somebody who can be shut up easily. And if the Austrian government thinks they can shut me up, they're going to have to cut the phone wires. they're going to have to lock me in a very deep cell. And until then, I shall speak freely, because I'm inclined to believe in freedom of speech. I come from a free country called England.
What are conditions like in prison? Are you being singled out?
I've just tossed the entire lunch down the toilet, if that's an indication of what the food is like. No, I'm being looked after very well by the prison staff. I'm something of a hero to them. They bring books to me to sign. They give me special treatment. And I'm rather happy with that. I get on very well with the Austrians here, but the people in the exercise yard, they come at the murderers and the bank robbers and the swindlers and the rest of them I do exercise with. They say, well, what are you in there for, mate? And I said, well, 17 years ago, I expressed an illegal opinion, and that's what I've been arrested for. And they say, you what? You what? It's a ridiculous world.
You say the guards sympathise with you. On what grounds?
The guards who what?
The guards sympathise with you. On what grounds are they sympathising?
I get on very well with them. I'm a good communicator. And I get on very well with the ordinary Austrian people, but we're looking at a higher level than the guards here. We're looking at people hanging around in the background. That's what's behind this demand that I should be given an even steeper sentence. They're trying to shut me up.
Have you got a message for the British government, for Tony Blair?
Yes, thank you very much for the Foreign Office. Jack Straw, who went to the same school as me in Brentwood a few years later, the Foreign Office is looking after me very well. The British Embassy came round to see me yesterday to ask me the same questions. Am I being looked after, and what are the conditions? And the Embassy has been magnificent for the last 3 months, I have to say that.
So there's no political message you want to, you know, there's no pressure you want Blair to put on the Austrian government?
Where I live in Queen Anne's Gate, we're surrounded by what I call four-legged policemen, marching around with machine guns and marching around in twos, and it's not a place where you're going to expect to find much freedom. So I don't think Tony Blair has much interest in freedom of speech, but I don't want to say bad things about my own government. I don't believe in coming abroad and saying bad things about my own government. I want to say bad things about the Austrian government.
Did conditions change between, you know, being on remand, as it were, and getting your sentence?
They would normally have, and they would have changed for the better. A remand prisoners are treated worse than a convict. If I was a convict, I would have access to the gymnasium and sports facilities and libraries and televisions and things like that. I'm in solitary confinement 23 and a half hours a day. I've got no television, no radio, no newspapers. So the conditions are a little bit tougher, but I can stand that. It'll last until the appeal is heard.
And you are definitely appealing. What's the timescale for that?
We have to wait till the judgment is handed to us, which is between 3 and 4 weeks, unless they speed it up. And then it'll take us probably 3 or 4 weeks to formulate the grounds for the appeal, and then it'll be between 3 and 5 months for the appeal to be heard. But we're also going to appeal to the European Court of Human Rights.
Some of these far-right groups are now hailing you as their hero. Just to go over this again, you haven't got a message for them then?
Well, I don't know which these far-right groups are. I'm not doing this for them. I'm doing this generally for the cause of free speech and for the books that I write. I'm a very independent person. I do my own research and I write my own books, and I don't accept instructions from anybody. That goes for far-right groups and it goes for governments. I write what I find.
If you're in prison for the next 3 years, possibly even more if the prosecution gets its way, what do you think is going to happen to you?
I'll get old. I'm nearly 70. I'll be nearly 70 when I come out, or over 70. I'm not feeling too good even today. I'm going to instruct my lawyer on Monday or Tuesday to draw up a testament for me, because who knows what will happen. But I'm prepared to see this one through to the end.
You think you'll survive it?
I can survive it, I think, but it'll be close to the wire. I'm prepared for every eventuality, and the Austrian people have been very hospitable to me, but I should be realist. That's why I'm writing in my cell at this moment, because I want to make sure that my books are finished. Volume 3 of my Churchill biography and my memoirs, which I've written 1,000 pages of memoirs already.
And do you have many backers on the outside, financial particularly?
Yes. I've got some very big names in England and Diva. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you who the names are, and this is the only thing keeps me afloat and keeps my family afloat.
Do you regret anything that you've done, either the way you've gone about the trial or going back to Austria in the first place? What regrets have you got?
I regret being here. I'd prefer to be back in Queen Anne's Gate in London at this moment, but I've never been one to run away from a fight, and if the Austrians want to fight, they'll get it.
Do you feel sorry in any way for your comments?
I'm afraid my phone card has run out of cash. Do I feel sorry for my opponents?
Yeah.
No, I feel sorry for myself at this moment.
Okay. Well, Mr. Irving, thank you very much. Are you... Yeah.